You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Dog Pound, the Cleveland Browns annual blood drive in association with Cuyahoga Community College, is coming Saturday, August 1st, to a location near you in partnership with the American Red Cross. It's your chance to donate blood at one of 12 locations across northern Ohio. Donors will receive a commemorative T-shirt while supplies last. Be part of Browns First and 10 movement to help make your community better. To schedule your appointment, visit clevelandbrowns.com or the Browns mobile app, or call 1-800-RED-CROSS and mention the sponsor code Browns. Zagura Gribble Jones here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. I want to thank James Heller, who just tweeted me. Great place, awesome atmosphere, great tacos. Hashtag Bomba Tacos and Rum on Detroit Road in Rocky River. Have either of you been to Bomba Tacos?
I've been there. Solid.
Solid?
I've heard good things. I'll give you another good one. Johnny Mangos.
Johnny Mangos is solid.
It's in between Ohio City, Tremont area. They have.
I'm not afraid of Johnny Mangos.
They have a drink called El Diablo, and it's got tequila and vodka. So
Is it spicy?
You can get many different flavors. I don't know if they're perfect or not, but you can get pineapple is what I recommend.
Pineapple is what you recommend.
Pineapple El Diablo.
If it's El Diablo, it better be spicy. Otherwise, that name makes no sense as far as I'm concerned.
Shout out to Terrence West for his workout video he just posted on Instagram. He's really going hard up a hill. He's posted a lot of his training videos. We might have to get him on the phone for an article later this week on clevelandbrowns.com.
Yeah, for sure. And the one I saw yesterday of him, which I thought was interesting, they highlighted him catching a lot of over-the-shoulder passes.
One-handed.
He's catching balls in this drill, too.
Yeah, running fade routes.
I think that's been emphasized to him. I mean, because that's an area where we've talked about nonstop, about, you know, just because Duke Johnson is here doesn't mean the other running backs aren't going to be catching passes.
And Terrence West is the name that's no one's talking about now because of Duke, and Crow is expected to be the number one guy going into training camp. Let's not forget what T. West did week one, week 17.
Yeah, against Baltimore Ravens and the Steelers both. And in terms of catching the football, listen, Duke Johnson has looked great, but the biggest adjustment for a rookie coming in is pass protection. And if he can't protect the quarterback on third downs, he's not going to be out there on third down. So you're going to have one of these other guys potentially be a third down back. I know that's what they want to have happen, but I don't know if that's what's going to happen.
The formation I love that they used a lot in minicamp: Josh McCown shotgun, Duke Johnson to his left, Crow or West to his right as that blocker, and then a peel out route, but Duke running out for a route. So it's kind of an old school formation that you saw a lot in the mid 90s. Two running backs back there next to the quarterback. I like that formation a lot.
Yeah, it's a little nice Madden, Madden formation as well.
At some point, don't you have to keep the defense honest and keep Duke back there?
At some point, you have to. Yeah, you got to keep him in to block, but they also flex him out a lot, and we see him in the slot quite a bit. So, I think a lot of versatility, a lot of options there as well. TK Wilson giving a shout-out to Burntwood Tavern in Solon. Great food, bar, live bands. It is actually good. It's actually close proximity to Paco and his taco.
There's one of those about a mile and a half from my house.
Burntwood's solid.
Lakewood, yeah, so there's a few of them all over the Cleveland area.
They are around the
Is there a rivalry for best suburb of Cleveland, best, you know, sub-city, a Lakewood, a Solon, a Berea? Is there, you know, in this area, what is regarded?
There's not a rivalry between a particular suburbs, but there is definitely not, I wouldn't say a rivalry, but there is, because I just moved here. I mean, I've lived here for about 15 years now, but east side, west side, there's a thing. I don't know why, but there is some type of a thing between the east side and the west side.
You guys are just it's so hard to get out there.
What do you mean? The same thing, the west side, it's so hard to get to. The east side's very easy to get to.
We're so much closer to interstates, though, to downtown, everything.
Yeah, I'm 3 minutes from getting on 480.
I think that's the disconnect, is we have a hard time getting over to the east side.
But from here, like, how long does it take you to get to Lakewood?
From Berea?
Yeah, door to door.
It's about 20 minutes.
Yeah, I'm 25 minutes, but people would think that
everything
I'm
in Ohio is 20 or 25 minutes.
I'm in another
place. I've learned that.
I don't know. I grew up in Strongsville, which I don't even know if you classify that as west side, but it's like southwest side. But now, as a Lakewood resident, I have to fly the flag for the west side.
Wait, is that really? Okay, it's west of Cleveland, but I mean, it's really close to downtown Lakewood.
Yeah, it borders it.
Okay. I'm going to live downtown. I like downtown.
Downtown is very cool. You get a lot of, at least it seems to me, when I talk to people from the west side, they think the east side people are like snobby. That's like kind of the perception, which I find very strange. I think it's great over there. Kind of the Pepper Pike, Moreland Hills, Solon, Orange area. I think it's great over there.
I think whenever I drive to the east side, it makes me realize how just massive greater Cleveland just kind of feels, because it's just like it does take me like a long time to get to a place like Mentor or something like
well,
that.
Well, yeah, well, Mentor is 25 minutes from me farther east.
It's just far away.
A lot of geography debates on Cleveland Browns Daily.
Yeah.
Driven by Liberty Ford.
Yeah, you can drive all over this great city in a nice Liberty Ford. So who's the guy that you think right now is under the radar that is going to be an impact player that people are not really focused on right now?
I'll let KJ go first on that one.
Man, I mean,
is Terrence West, you said right now he seems to be kind of a forgotten man.
That defensive line is so crowded, and you have so many guys that are still there, like Ishmaili Kitchen, who's, I think, going to play a lot still. This guy, he goes under the radar, not to me on ClevelandBrowns.com, but I feel like on the fan base and on Twitter, is Carlos Dansby, and he was hurt for a big part of that losing streak. I just think his importance on this defense, next to Joe Hayden, I think he's 1B on importance, especially this year in stopping the run. Jim O'Neill made some good points about Carlos Dansby in his press conference. He did a lot of freelancing last year, and the Browns gave him the ability to sort of, all right, you guess the play. I think there's going to be less of that this year. I think he's going to be playing more within the scheme and more as a traditional thumping linebacker.
It sounded like he also felt that last year he was out of position too often and wants to rectify that this season, yeah, which could be along the lines of what you're talking about.
Just because he's a double-digit year veteran in the NFL doesn't mean he can't benefit from an extra year in the system.
It's a new system for
him.
It's crazy to think that, but you're right.
Yeah, I mean, I think he'll be in better shape. My pick is of the similar mold, but it's on offense, and it's Andrew Hawkins. I think we've been talking a lot about the wide receivers, and he's probably the one we talk about the least, even though he was this team leading receiver last year. But he's going to be, I think, in a role that's better suited for him, and I think he can have, even though he led this team in receiving last year, I think he can have a bigger impact on this offense and be – it's so valuable to have such a very good player in that slot receiver position. Just look at what some of the great quarterbacks do with that slot receiver. So I think he can be a quarterback's best friend there in the slot, big on third downs. So he's one that, again, we just don't talk about him much because we know what you're getting in him. He's been on this team before, and there's been so much other turnover at that position that he just kind of flies under the radar there, and he'll be really solid.
Nathan, how good was he on third down, Hawk, last year?
He was money. He was money. Miles Austin was money. That's what these guys, they've got to have that type of performance as well this season.
One last under-the-radar player, if he does perform well, that it's going to be humongous for this team, is Rob Hausler, because they're really lining him up everywhere. I mean, I would guess that they want him to catch 55 passes this year. They want him to be a guy who's heavily involved in the offense. So if he's taking off early in the year, I think the rest of the offense is going to benefit from that. So keep your eye on Rob Hausler.
I want to say I think Chris Kirksey's poised to make a big leap this year. I think he's been a little bit under the radar, but talking to the coaches, they are very, very happy about what he is going to be able to do. I think it's got to come from somebody on the outside, whether it be Mingo, whether it be Solomon, whether it be Nate Orchard. Somebody's got to step up, as you talked about, as that other pass rusher. I think Tremon Williams is kind of floating under the radar, and he's going to get a lot of opportunities to make plays opposite Joe Hayden. And if he can be really a 1A more than a 2 working exclusively against number 2 receivers, this pass defense can be absolutely lights out.
Week 1 against the Jets will be Hayden on Marshall, probably Tremon on Eric Decker.
And those are bigger guys. It's a bigger guy for Joe Hayden, yes. And that's where you want to see. See, I want to see Pierre Desir continue to perform well, because I thought he had a very good offseason. He's such a great matchup buster against some of those bigger receivers for the team. And that's what Justin Gilbert's supposed to be as well. But I think right now I'd rather play Pierre than Justin Gilbert. That's just me. If I was coaching, I'd feel much more comfortable.
I don't know if anyone went into the offseason with more momentum than Pierre Desir because of how he performed at minicamp, and you know, with Gilbert out because of some family reasons, he really kind of had the opportunity to make some plays.
Oh, he made plays, yeah.
And he stood out. And I think fans kind of forget about him because he's kind of he was under the radar last year because it was expected he wasn't going to play much at all, but came up big at the end of the year. And again, just such a crowded defensive back room where you wonder how all these guys are going to get on the field.
The defensive coaches love K'Wan Williams. I think – I don't want to say he's mastered the nickel position, but in training camp, I want to see him play outside cornerback because Tremon Williams, he's 31. He's a little up there in age. You want to see
K'Wan?
I want to see him play outside. I really do.
Don't you think you're fine with Pierre?
No, I want to start cross-chain. I want to start looking ahead to the future with K'Wan Williams, 2016, 2017 as him possibly lining up as the outside with Joe. I think he's that good at coverage.
I worry about his durability. I worry about his size. I think you need to have a Pierre.
If you have Pierre, you have depth, though. You have depth. I really think
Justin Gilbert needs to start for this team at some point. He needs to be that good. Or Pierre, and then you could pretend that Pierre was the first-round pick and Gilbert was the fourth-round pick, and it doesn't really matter. Kaywan, I think, is a very good nickel, I want to keep him inside.
I agree. I just think that cross-training him at a time like now when he's already proven that he's a nickel, I just think don't rule him out. He's that good at coverage. If he's your second-best coverage guy in the fourth quarter, you want him on the receiver. Doesn't matter where they're lining up people, you want him on the field.
When I'm looking to the future, what I think you hope is that you get to a point where you have a cross-train with, like, Hayden, and you could bump Hayden inside and have Gilbert and Pierre on the outsides, and you can match up with any receiving group in the National Football League.
Dangerous.
It sounds like that's been happening, too. I think Joe Hayden wants to learn, and I think that's why they've loved his attitude so much so far, because, you know, most guys in Hayden's position, you know, they're not going to go out of their way to learn more than what they need to because they've already established themselves. But, you know, Hayden wants to embrace this role on this defense.
Hayden wants to, and he when he follows guys around, he's going to end up in the slot at times, and it allows them to cross-train, to cross-matchup, to give different looks to defenses, because before, if Hayden went into the slot, it was a complete – I was talking to the coach about it. Last year, if Joe Hayden went in the slot, it was a total tell they were playing man.
And because so he was following their number one receiver.
Is they want to cross-train him so that he can go into the slot this year and they can play zones out of him, play trap coverages out of it so they can confuse people and give them looks that they've never seen before from the Browns with Joe Hayden.
And that's something I've written about on ClevelandBrowns.com. This defense can outsmart offenses, and that's not a lot of teams can do that in the league.
We're talking corners real quickly, and I know you just wrote a great article at ClevelandBrowns.com, Gribbs, about one of the new members of this team. A guy you see all around town in Cleveland, played for the Gladiators. What can he bring to this team, and does he have a shot to make it?
I think the opportunity is there. We keep talking about that, maybe that one spot that remains open with a bunch of different possibilities in that defensive back room. But, you know, I think the thing that stands out about Brandon Stevens, first off, is physicality. I think he's as in good a shape as anyone on this entire team, at kind of a 5'11", 199, just solid muscle. But, you know, he has the size, and I think he's been playing football. He's in football shape right now because he played 5 games with the Gladiators this season, but he performed well. During OTAs camp, we'd see him with the second team, sometimes third team. He'd be playing defensive back and also some safety. I think clearly that last spot, you got to get some versatility out of it. So he has the talent to play multiple positions. We'll see. He's been hard at work. I saw he tweeted out a photo of him wearing one of those oxygen masks on 4th of July training, doing that kind of stuff.
Robert Nelson's got everyone on that.
He does.
Training mask.
So he's gunning for it. He knows, you know, at 27, you know, kind of an untraditional route to the roster through rookie minicamp. You know, he knows this is maybe one of his last shots ever at getting in the NFL. So I think he's got that desire. I think he'll be in the mix of maybe 4 or 5 guys that are gunning for maybe that last spot in the defensive
end. You're looking at Brandon Stevens, Robert Nelson, who was here last year, Charles Gaines, who was drafted in the 6th round this year. Those are probably
Deontay Saunders.
Deontay, I think they see him more as a safety.
Okay.
So I think he's going to compete more there. Kendall James, who I know they've liked.
They like
so far
a lot.
Well.
Jim O'Neill has singled me out and said this guy is very good.
So that's 4 guys really competing for that one spot, because you got to think Hayden, Tremont, Kaywan, Gilbert, and Desir are making it. And they're probably going to carry 6 corners. They may carry 7 corners because they've moved Batty to corner, but I still consider him a specialist.
What I love from Gribble's story was that Brandon Stevens was sending his tape himself
every week
to the Browns. Please view this. You know, I'm trying really hard for the Cleveland Gladiators over in the Arena Football League. Give me a shot. And Ray Farmer said, let's give this guy a shot.
Yeah, and he was one of 8 that emerged from that rookie minicamp. And I think when we were watching that rookie minicamp, he just stood out simply because of the shape he was in. And
yep.
He was clearly just making plays and kind of fitting the roles. He was like one of 2 defensive backs, I think, that was taken from that group of 8 that was signed. But I think he's the only one remaining with the team so far going into that 90-man with defensive backs at the rookie minicamp.
All right, lots of rain out there on this Tuesday. It's coming down here in the Cleveland area. We're going to come back and wrap things up for you here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, Zagura, Gribble, KJ. We'll be back with more here on CBD.